selves and abandonment of egoisms. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh used to stress that fasting and performing prayers in the holy month of Ramadan deck and dress one's heart for attending to God's reception. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh recommended devotees and believers to strengthen themselves morally during the holy month of Ramadan. Imam rahmatullah alayh, the world religious and spiritual leader, used to put stress on availing opportunities of self-training and self-purification on the holy month of Ramadan. He recommended devotees and believers to strengthen themselves morally during this month. According to him, the holy month of Ramadan might have been prescribed because it is a month in which the Holy Prophet has perceived the truth. And after this perception, the angels and the Holy Book of Quran have been sent down. Ramadan, which is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar, is a period of fasting and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi, sallallahu alayhi.
Fasting in Ramadan helps Muslims grow closer to God Almighty and seek His proximity. Muslims fast from early dawn to sunset every day throughout this month, and the fast requires Muslims to abstain from food, drink, material relations, and ill conduct during the fast. Fasting, which teaches how to control and discipline our desires, also makes us learn how to say no to things that are otherwise permissible and good but are forbidden during fasting. And this is why Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh recommended us to leave our carnal desires in this month, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so much in this whole month of Ramadan that man can easily quiet his or her bad habits, and that is a present from God. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha
In the limelight.
In the United States, former Vice President Mike Pence has said he cannot in good conscience endorse former President Donald Trump for president in 2024. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster ABC News has covered this story and tells us more. Former Vice President Mike Pence said on Friday, 15th of March, he will not be endorsing his former boss, Donald Trump, in the 2024 general election. Appearing on Fox News Channel, Mike Pence said he cannot in good conscience back Trump, as there are profound differences between their views on various issues. Mike Pence, who unsuccessfully ran for the Republican nomination, declined to reveal who he plans to vote for in November, but he said he would never vote for President Joe Biden. It should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year. Penn said after being asked by Fox News host Martha McCallum. Penn slammed Donald Trump for pursuing an agenda that is at odds with the conservative agenda the two abided by during their administration. Mike Pence added, "Look, I'm incredibly proud of the record of our administration. It was a conservative record that made America more prosperous, more secure, and saw conservatives appointed to our courts in a more peaceful world. That being said, during my presidential campaign, I made it clear there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues, not just our difference on my constitutional duties that I exercised on 6th of January 2021. Mike Pence said Donald Trump's stance on the national deficit, his position on abortion, and most recently his reversal on TikTok ban are among his reasons for not endorsing his former running mate, in addition to what unfolded on 6th of January 2021. Trump's pressure on Mike Pence to reject the 2020 election results, which Pence said endangered his family's life on 6th of January 2021, prompted a rift in their relationship and prompted Pence to argue on the campaign trail that his efforts to overturn his election loss should be disqualifying. Asked who he plans to vote for in the general election, Mike Pence said, "Like most Americans, I'm going to keep my vote to myself. I would never vote for Joe Biden, though," Pence said, when asked if he would vote for Biden. "How I vote when that curtain closes, that will be for me to decide." Mike Pence dismissed the idea of backing a third-party candidate or himself running as a third-party candidate, saying, "I'm a Republican." Later on, when asked if he'd run as a third-party candidate, Pence more clearly dismissed the idea, saying, "I'm a Republican." Pence acknowledged the fact that Republican primary voters have made their choice clear and said he plans to spend the rest of the year pushing for what we should be for. Republican primary voters have made it clear who they're for in this election, Pence said. "What I'm going to spend the rest of the year is talking about what we should be for, the broad mainstream conservative agenda that has defined our party and always made America strong and prosperous and free." On the campaign trail, Mike Pence never directly ruled out voting for Trump in 2024, but repeatedly said, "I don't think I'll have to." He argued Republicans would select a new standard bearer before Trump this week secured enough delegates to presumptively be the GOP nominee. After warning against what he called the siren song of populism, Mike Pence's political advocacy organization, Advancing American Freedom, announced plans last month to invest $20 million in a program intended to uphold conservatism as bigger than any one moment, election, or person, in a not-so-thinly-veiled swipe against his former boss, Donald Trump, and CPAC. The national broadcaster CBS News has also covered the same story. Former Vice President Mike Pence said on Friday, 15th of March, he cannot in good conscience endorse former President Donald Trump. "It should come as no surprise, I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year," he said in an interview with Fox News. Mike Pence, who served as Trump's vice president, said the former president is pursuing and articulating an agenda that is at odds with the conservative agenda that we governed on during our 4 years in office. The former vice president's refusal to back Donald Trump is a reversal from earlier in the primary campaign when he raised his hand during the first Republican debate to say he would support Trump as the party's nominee even if he were to be convicted. Trump is now facing 4 separate indictments and is the first president ever to be accused of state and federal crimes. Mike Pence said on Friday, 15th of March, there were profound differences between him and Donald Trump on a number of issues, including his resistance against Trump's repeated demands to reject the Electoral College results after the 2020 election. As I have watched his candidacy unfold, I've seen him walking away from our commitment to confronting the national debt, Mike Pence said. I've seen him starting to shy away from a commitment to the sanctity of human life. Pence also criticized Donald Trump's opposition to legislation that would force Chinese company ByteDance to sell TikTok to continue operating in the United States. The former vice president wouldn't say who he's voting for next November, but also said it would not be President Joe Biden. Both Joe Biden and Donald Trump became the presumptive nominees of their respective parties earlier this week. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. Mike Pence will not endorse for President Donald Trump, the man he served as vice president for 4 years, but whose supporters chanted for Pence to be hanged as they attacked Congress on 6th of January 2021. It should come as no surprise that I will not be endorsing Donald Trump this year. The former Indiana governor and former candidate for the Republican presidential nomination told Fox News on Friday, 15th of March. Asked why, given that he previously promised to endorse the eventual GOP nominee, Mike Pence mentioned 6th of January 2021, the day a mob attacked Congress and Donald Trump was reported to have told aides that Pence deserved to be hanged for refusing to block certification of Joe Biden's election win. But Mike Pence placed more emphasis on policies pursued by Donald Trump as he has secured the Republican nomination, a success achieved despite now facing 88 criminal charges under 4 indictments and suffering multi-million dollar civil penalties over his business affairs and a rape allegation a judge called substantially true. Mike Pence said he was incredibly proud of the record of our administration. It was a conservative record that made America more prosperous, more secure, and saw conservatives appointed to our courts of law. But he said, that being said, during my presidential campaign, which he ended last October, months before the first vote in Iowa, I made it clear that there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues, and not just our difference on my constitutional duties that I exercised on 6th of January 2021. As I have watched his candidacy unfold, I've seen him walking away from our commitment to confronting the national debt. I've seen him standing to shy away from a commitment to the sanctity of human life. The US national debt ballooned under Donald Trump and Mike Pence. On abortion rights, the Supreme Court, to which Donald Trump appointed 3 right-wingers, did remove federal rights in 2022. But Republicans have since suffered a succession of election defeats as Democrats campaign on the issue.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
This is A to Z. An Introduction into Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, Allah wants to bring you close in the holy month of Ramadan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is an honor to be here, holy month of Ramadan, talking about Islamic lifestyle on A to Z. So, dear friends, in the holy month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mighty, the exalted, the creator, the Lord, the sustainer, the provider of sustenance, life, and death, Allah in the holy month of Ramadan wants to bring you close to Him. You know, sometimes, as we have said in some of our previous programs, we have a tendency to really forget what the essence of some of the actions that we do really are. And so, because of that, we end up doing these actions or we do these practices. Or we have this very superficial belief of the things that we believe in. It's not an in-depth belief. It is not a profound understanding of what is happening. And the holy month of Ramadan, unfortunately, for many of us, including myself, is a very superficial understanding of the holy month of Ramadan. Now, what we're saying here is that Allah in this holy month wants to bring you close to Him. Of course, because of the fasting, and because of the spiritual strength which we gain on one hand, and two, the materialistic detachment which we acquire during the holy month of Ramadan, all of this brings us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It spiritually builds and establishes a connection with the Almighty Allah. And so this is what we find is happening in this holy month. The holy month is an opportunity to be able to establish a connection with Allah, the Almighty, the All-Exalted, the Glorified. Another thing, though, before we go to the break, we are continuously reminding ourselves on the program that these things that we learn in the holy month of Ramadan should not be limited to this holy month. These are all things that, right from day one, we can continue in the rest of the months of the year and make them a part of our Islamic lifestyle.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about how Allah wants to bring you close to Him in this holy month of Ramadan. What a beautiful statement this in itself, right? A lot of times we say things, we don't really think about them. But this statement in itself, the fact that in this holy month of Ramadan, Allah wants to bring us close to Him. What a beautiful statement, what a profound statement that the Almighty Allah, the Creator, the Lord, He wants us to be close to Him. Now, this Allah's wanting us to be close to Him, God's wanting us to be near to Him. What's really interesting is that technically it's of no use to the Almighty Allah, the Almighty God. What does God have to benefit from if we are close to Him or we are not close to Him? So what I'm trying to say is that it is our benefit to be close to God. It is our salvation, it is our prosperity, it is our eternal bliss, it is our happiness. It is, I mean, I guess from A to Z, it is totally our benefit and it is our advantage and it is good for us to be close to the Almighty Allah. And even though all of the blessings and all of the prosperity and all of the eternal bliss is for us when we are close to the Almighty Allah, yet it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is asking us and trying to bring us close to Him. And so, like I said, it's a very profound statement, and you really just begin to understand a glimmer, or you see a glimpse of the compassion and the love and the mercy of the Almighty Allah. And so, something to take into consideration that Allah is wanting us to be close to Him in this holy month of Ramadan, and why not accept that invitation and with sincerity and purity go through our fasting in this holy month. May Allah accept it from every single one of us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to Aperture. The illegal recycling of electronics is a toxic business on a global scale. Every year, 3/4 of electronic waste from Europe and the U.S. disappears from official recycling system and is shipped illegally to India, China, or Africa. Stay with us as we further investigate to reveal the apparatus of large-scale trafficking as well as a complex chain of responsibility and collusion in the next part of the program.
The U.S. is the only country in the world, apart from Haiti, that has not ratified the Basel Convention, the international agreement banning the export of toxic waste. To make matters worse, the U.S. government itself is as bad as anyone else when it comes to recycling its own discarded equipment.
The U.S. government is the single biggest producer of electronic waste on the planet.
Discarded electronics of whole departments are routinely put out to public auction instead of being sent to trustworthy recyclers.
Whoever gives the government the best rate, in other words, they can take it for free or almost for free, the government is kind of obliged to do that because in our laws you're supposed to go the cheapest way to save the taxpayer money. But the cheapest way is the dirtiest way.
Recyclers who do actually recycle find themselves the target of shady exporters. Plant manager Craig Lorch has been in the business for more than 20 years.
We get regular requests from brokers that are in other countries looking to buy materials, buying computers, metals, laptops, anything with valuable materials in them. We don't sell to them. We don't know what they're going to do with the materials. We don't know where it's going to go.
Craig is part of a minority of conscientious recyclers who collaborate with Jim Puckett and the Basel Action Network. But many U.S. recyclers do export. The Basel Action Network estimates that between 20 and 50 e-waste containers leave U.S. harbors every day. To find out where exactly U.S. e-waste is exported to, Jim came up with a very effective spying technique.
We will just go around to these people calling themselves recyclers, and you drive by them, and the beauty is that you can't hide a big old 40-foot container. So it's very easy to photograph them, and they have prominent numbers, and we take pictures of those, and we date them.
Jim then goes online to find out where the e-waste containers are headed.
I can type that number into a database called TrackTrace, and here we see the whole record of that particular container in its last week's voyages. It's gone from Thailand to Singapore, now it's in New Zealand.
analyzing the main trading routes for U.S. e-waste, Jim made a surprising discovery.
It comes through Hong Kong almost 65% of the time from the U.S. We didn't know that till we started tracking and tracking and tracking. Wow, they're all going to Hong Kong.
Hong Kong Harbor is the third largest port in the world, and any e-waste sent by the U.S. to Asia enters through here. But why isn't it seized and returned straight to sender? ₩63,000 containers arrive here every single day on merchant ships of all shapes and sizes. Vincent Wong oversees the customs team at the harbour. The biggest terminal, Kwai Sing, receives nearly 50,000 containers a day. Up to 100 of them are estimated to contain e-waste. Tracking them down is a challenge.
Hong Kong is a free port. That means that the ship and the cargo don't have to declare to customs at the point of entry right away, except they are demanded by customs officers. They only need to declare after 14 days, within 14 days of the import or export of a consignment.
This means that by the time Wong and his colleagues receive the customs declaration, the cargo has usually long moved on. To combat this loophole, the customs inspectors pull out any containers which ring an alarm bell. For instance, because of the company's history or a tip-off from abroad, and submit them to an X-ray scan.
We can scan a container truck in less than 2 minutes, the whole truck. And then if necessary, we'll open the container for further inspection.
E-waste has its very own shape and look under an X-ray scanner. Items like computer monitors stand out clearly.
For e-waste, we have quite a number of cases in the past few years, and most of them are declared as plastic scrap or metal scrap.
Up to 36,000 e-waste containers are estimated to enter through Hong Kong Harbour every year, enough to fill 20 of the largest cargo ships. About 40 containers a year are intercepted, sent back, and their owners prosecuted.
We do not process each and every container coming or going out of Hong Kong. Around the world, there's no one custom administration that can process 100% of them.
As a result, there are always containers that escape the authorities. Chinese activists are trying to find out what happens to them.
I always want to do something to make some change. So I joined Greenpeace since 2002. The first campaign is working on the e-waste.
Lai Yun is investigating how the e-waste containers slipping through the controls at Hong Kong get to mainland China. Just north of Hong Kong Island in the New Territories, there is a perfect hiding place for e-waste in transit. Lai Yun has come to pick up the trail.
I heard about a lot of e-waste from the overseas, like the United States, coming to Hong Kong.
He soon finds a storage yard. The e-waste shipments await transport over the border. And since the storage of e-waste is not illegal, the authorities are turning a blind eye. There are dozens of yards in this area. The site contains everything from TV sets to monitors and computers. If these, as usually claimed on customs declarations, were really exported as usable second-hand goods, they wouldn't be sitting out in the open air in the rain.
I think that China and the United States so important work together to solve the e-waste problem. This is an international issue.
From the storage yards, the e-waste is smuggled across the border into mainland China. It's just a few miles away, but it's illegal.
The trucks reload in New Territories and drive across very close, and they have to pay a bribe. It's the only way they could get across. Or you use a small coaster boat and go up the Pearl River Delta into areas like Nanhai. And there, again, you'd pay a bribe to unload it.
Once the e-waste has crossed the border, it travels to places like the town of Guiyu.
When we went to the Guiyu, we don't see any signs to say, okay, this is Guiyu. But we just smell, very strong, the smell. Okay, we know we arrived at Guiyu.
Guiyu is one of many Chinese towns and villages where illegal e-waste recycling is happening on an industrial scale. No. 80% of the population are involved, processing millions of tons of e-waste a year with the connivance of the industrialized nations. The owners of the yards buy the waste abroad for peanuts, then recycle it using cheap labor. No money is spent treating the toxic leftovers or protecting the workers, so an item can be recycled for a tenth of the cost charged in Europe or the US. As opposed to the African dump sites, in Guiyu, there is a division of labor.
Very typical local family workshop. The workers also recycle the plastic or CRT. This guy used the light to burn the plastic and classify different types.
Separating different kinds of plastic by burning and smelling them is a cheap and effective technique, but it damages the lungs. Another family workshop specializes in recovering minute amounts of gold by dipping motherboards into acid baths. The workers are risking cancer by breathing in the toxic smoke. Afterwards, the remaining acid is simply dumped in the river. The groundwater has also been polluted, and even a simple cup of tea is laced with toxins. The constant exposure to substances such as PCBs, lead and mercury is causing numerous health problems, including nerve and brain damage, skin diseases, and a rise in birth defects.
Really what's happening is people are externalizing costs. You don't want to solve the problem, you'd rather let someone else deal with it, and you'll never have to pay for it. You don't ever get a bill from China saying, you contaminated my land, you have to pay.
China's factories in the neighboring provinces, for instance in Shanghai, Yangzhou, and Guangdong, immediately buy up any recycled materials, such as copper, aluminium, iron, gold, and plastics. But e-waste recycling is not only about selling scrap materials. An even more lucrative business is the recycling of computer chips. In clandestine workshops, transistors, integrated circuits, and other components are taken off discarded motherboards. The harvested parts are sorted and cleaned and sold as brand new components for the production of new electronics. This trade is said to be worth 100 billion euros a year, but it carries a huge risk that has an impact all over the globe, wherever computer chips are a part of our lives. For instance, in trains, planes, cars, nuclear power plants, hospitals, in short, everywhere. The companies who build the control systems for this kind of equipment are finding it increasingly difficult to distinguish between new chips and refurbished ones, and to be sure that their products on which many lives depend are safe. For TQ Systems in Germany, this is a daily challenge. Since the original label has been painted over, it's hard to know which type of chip it really is. Clues pointing to the origin of a chip on the scrap heap are broken and missing pins, or labeling that has been scratched off with a crude and blunt instrument. If the chips were sold as new, they should have come from a factory like this facility in Dresden, where new chips are produced in a highly controlled environment. But the scratched surfaces point to a different origin. Guiyu, or another e-waste recycling village somewhere in the developing world. And this means that the chips might be damaged. Major chip manufacturers have started to employ investigators to keep tabs on the situation.
We're currently investigating a case where a customer had purchased from the open market a power module. They introduced them into a public transportation system, and after 1 month of usage, they exploded.
The module had burnt out inside. Stephen Jetta and his team found out that it had been fraudulently relabeled with a higher temperature resistance, probably because a high resistance fetches a better price.
You can imagine if you have a power module that's originally developed in an environment where maximum voltage is 1200 voltage, and it's been remarked in 2400 voltage, it's not going to last.
TQ Systems have decided to check every single batch of chips on arrival using a special X-ray system. It will take time and effort to find out if the skewed connection is harmless or likely to cause a malfunction. Mike is back in Ghana and observing a steady stream of containers arriving from all over the world. Why do the Ghanaian authorities not seize the e-waste on arrival and only let in the functional second-hand goods? A young Ghanaian investigator, Anas Arameyo, has some answers. Anas always works undercover and has never shown his face in public. He recently took his hidden camera to Tema Harbour, Ghana's main port.
E-waste was one of the biggest areas that we looked into. For example, most fraud happened through the e-waste system. Customs have a form of valuation for such home appliances or goods, and the valuation is next to nothing. Somebody goes to clear used goods from the West, and they would look at it as condemned goods, so you're not going to pay the value that you would pay it ordinarily.
At Tema Harbour, no one is really interested in separating working goods from waste. Everything is declared as waste and let in virtually tax-free, with the help of a bribe, or a little present for the customs officers.
Many of my footage, you see the SEPs officers walking through the e-waste. First of all, they themselves start picking some that they think is useful.
Then the importers sell the material. The working items go to the second-hand market, the rest to the scrap dealers. For the buyers, it's a gamble, as up to 90% can be broken or in need of repairs.
There was nothing like anybody's going to check the efficacy. In fact, at the sales point, you are told that this is it. It may have a fault or not. For example, if you take about 30 of them, the ones that will be working will be about 2 or 3. But then the people who buy also rely on doing some repair work on it.
The items that work or can be repaired go on sale in the streets of Accra.
Majority of Ghanaians, about 90% of Ghanaians, would want to depend on the second-hand equipment. So there are new phones, there are new laptops, but it is still expensive and people don't have the money to afford these things.
The second-hand market is thriving. A functional 10-year-old computer siphoned off the recycling system in Europe or the US trades for 25 euros upwards. But there is a big problem with imported second-hand equipment. Often it has only a very short lifespan left.
We should control not only the waste, but the near end of life equipment, so things that become waste really quickly.
Ghana doesn't have any recycling facilities, so any equipment coming into the country, be it e-waste to be scrapped, new electronics, or second-hand imports, sooner or later ends up on a dump site. Ironically, many of the old appliances will have been officially charged to the recycling system in Europe before being exported. But the ones doing the actual recycling work are a group of kids who eke out a living selling the small amounts of metal they can recover. This can hardly be called efficient recycling. All this raises a seemingly naive question. Given that when we buy a new computer in Europe, its recycling is included in the purchase price, shouldn't this money end up with the person doing the actual recycling, wherever they may be on the planet? If European e-waste continues to go abroad, shouldn't the European recycling system be extended and used to set up modern recycling plants in places like Ghana? Or what about a totally different approach? While harbour controls failed to prevent the e-waste from entering, while broken electronics are traded freely on the internet, while e-waste travels the seas by the container load, while Europe and the US won't stop the ships from leaving, while recycling facilities in Europe are leaking like sieves to shady brokers, we need to remember who is at the start of the e-waste chain. The consumer. Few of us can resist the latest gadgets, and we have got into the habit of constantly replacing them with the latest model after a very short time. Last year, worldwide, nearly 50 million flat panel TV sets were sold, 300 million PCs, and 2 billion mobiles and smartphones. Sales figures for consumer electronics are constantly on the rise, and not only in Europe, but also in emerging markets such as India, China, and Africa. Maybe it's time to redefine our roles as consumers and start using our gadgets for a longer time before the entire planet is littered with discarded appliances that have a long and toxic life ahead of them as e-waste.
Perhaps it's important for the consumers to be aware of how overconsumption and subsequent illegal dumping causes suffering to other human beings across the globe. Perhaps this will lead to more responsible choices, but the bottom line is that governments in the EU and the US must take full responsibility by putting better regulations and systems in place. This toxic tide plaguing the world cannot be stopped while so many governments in the developed world are willing to turn a blind eye. And that's it for this week. Do join me again next time here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
Assalamu alaikum, respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all over the world. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah Almighty, inshallah, bless us in this holy month. And may you, inshallah, include us in your du'as as well. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Let's recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all. And I'm glad to let you know that we have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider with us today in this session. Everyone, salam alaikum. Hussein, salam, how are you?
Alaikum assalam, sir.
Are you good? Alhamdulillah. How are you doing with Ramadan?
That's good, sir.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Good. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Good. Good. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And Fawad? So, everyone is fine, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, hope you are doing well. Let's get it started. In this session, inshallah, we will talk about Ayah 49, Surah Al-A'raf, page 156. Am I right?
Yes.
So, our brothers and sisters, please get your Quran, page 156, Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 49. Let's listen to the recitation once.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ ادخلوا الجنة لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون.
Great. So our mission in our sessions are to practice the Tajweed rules, yes?
Yes.
And try to practice the recitation of the ayah in a very beautiful way, in a correct way actually. And also let's see what Allah Almighty says in that ayah. Is that right?
Yes.
Let me read it once, then inshallah one of our brothers from you will recite it. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Ayah 49, Surah Al-A'raf, page 156. أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. This is a very beautiful ayah. I really like it. I really want to talk about it. But I want you, brothers and sisters, to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for more explanation on this. I will explain it shortly. So, I want Hussein to read this ayah once. I mean, recite the ayah once.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ.
MashaAllah, what a voice, what a beautiful voice you have. Thank you so much. That was great, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes, Hassan?
Yes.
Okay. So, Allah Almighty says in this ayah that the non-believers, okay, the non-believers used to say the believers, used to make fun of the believers, used to say to them that you won't get blessed by Allah Almighty. Allah says, are these the ones concerning whom you swore that Allah will not extend them any mercy? Allah Almighty is talking to the non-believers in the Day of Judgment. Believers, are these, okay, the ones concerning whom you swore that Allah Almighty will not extend them any mercy, will not bless them. Well, the mercy of Allah Almighty will not touch them. Okay?
Yes.
Because they do not believe in God and they think like whatever we pray, fasting, these things, they are, God forbid, they are something silly. Okay? Nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they thought this way in the world, for example.
Yes.
And the Day of Judgment, Allah Almighty tells them. And then Allah Almighty tells the believers, O believers, udkhulu al-jannah. Go to the heavens, let them know what they were doing. Udkhulu al-jannah, teach them a lesson now. Enter the Jannah, teach them a lesson. Practice the Tajweed rules. The word aha'ula'i, it has two mat signs. Some of you tell us what to do with the mud signs. Hmm?
Yes.
So, Ali Nasir?
We have two wajib muds.
Wajib one.
The first one is on ha. That after ha we have a hamza. So it become wajib because they are in same word. And the second one that we have on lam.
La.
After it also we have another hamza that makes it wajib. We should stretch them for 6 counts.
So you mean that the both mud sign that we have tell us that the muds are
wajib.
We have to extend the mud sign. Is that right, everyone?
Yes.
Well, there is a point I have to say. The first mud is not wajib. Because ha is a pointing letter. It says pointing ha ulai. Ha ula means they. Oh, they. For example, like this, okay? So ha is one word. Ula'i is another word. So ha ula'i. Look, ha, one word. The alif mad is with ha. And ula'i, the hamza is with ula. So they are in two separate words.
Okay? Confusing.
So this, yeah, this is a compound word. That's why it might seem difficult. Yes?
Confusing. Yes.
So that's what the first mad is recommended.
Not wajib.
Jais. Sorry, Jais. The second one is
Waji.
Because Mad and Hamza are in the same word. أَهَا الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ أَقْسَمْتُمْ
قَلْقَلَ.
How do you read it? For what?
أَقْسَمْتُمْ
أَقْسَمْتُمْ. Good job. Make sure the echoing sound is produced.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
لا يناله الله هم الله حسن. I read this one heavily, right? Allah.
Yes.
And that's because of the
sign of dhamma. Yes.
Dhamma sign before. And in case we have kasra sign before the word Allah. Yes. You read it
slightly.
Can you give me an example?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. Bismillah. A'udhu billah. 'Indillah. These are the examples. But if we have a fatha right before the word Allah, the last letter before the word Allah, if it is assigned with fatha or dhamma, the word Allah is pronounced
heavily.
Allah. Or if we just start reading from the word Allah. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الله or اللهم alright that's it
yeah
جيم that baby جيم on the top of the word برحمة what does that say حسن
it says that it's optional to stop or to continue
yeah it tells you basically you have to read continue reading basically okay You have to continue reading normally like this. أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ ادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ No pauses. But here, this sign tells you that in case you want to make a pause or you're running out of breath, you're allowed to make a pause here. The mean it doesn't harm? It doesn't harm?
The meaning.
The meaning.
But sir, if we stop, it will give a better meaning to us or no? Like no difference.
No difference, okay? You have to look at the, the interpretation, okay? The weather.
Yeah.
If I make a pause. أَهَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ لَا يَنَالُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ or بِرَحْمَةٍ The sentence finishes, okay? The words finish. Another sentence starts. أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ In case you join them also, that's the same thing. Why? Because the first part, Allah Almighty talks to who? To the non-believers. The second part, أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Allah talks to the believers.
So, can this sign like
Wait, it can be differentiated easily. By so that stopping? Does not harm the meaning.
By stopping?
Yeah, by stopping and also by connecting. It doesn't harm the meaning. Why? Because this, before the sign jim and after the sign jim, we'll talk about two different groups.
Can we relate it to a comma?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of. You can say it's a comma. But comma tells you can have a slight pause, but here we can stop even. So that's the difference, okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So udukhulu al-jannah, the word udukhulu, make sure you put a zamma on that, a dhamma on the top of
alif
hamzatul wasl.
How do you read it?
Udukhulu.
Udukhulu al-jannah. Right. Jannah, make sure it's noon with tashdeed. La khawfun alaykum wa la antum, the same as aha. The mad is
jaiz.
Munfasil. And the last rule, antum fawad, what does it?
Ikhfa.
It tells us, yeah?
To hide the sound of noon.
Yeah, to hide the sound of noon. Antum. That's it. Any questions?
No, sir.
So I will recite it once, make sure you repeat after me. Brothers and sisters, we have mentioned the tajweed rules. Now it's time to practice and apply the rules. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
So you should be proud of this, proud of yourselves that you're believers, because this ayah gives you good news, yes?
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
أهؤلاء الذين أقسمتم لا ينالهم الله برحمة
أهؤلاء الذين أقسمتم لا ينالهم الله برحمة
ادخلوا الجنة لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون
ادخلوا الجنة لا خوف عليكم ولا أنتم تحزنون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much. That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. Thanks, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. See you in the next session. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.